We have once again been blessed with a sacred outpouring of the Spirit. I hope you will repeatedly study the messages of this conference throughout the coming months.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Any invitations you want to update us on?
I've been thinking a lot about the stillness stuff from the last episode. And he specifically mentioned bringing the stillness of holy places back to the home. So today, or not today, this week, when I went to the temple, I tried to think more about how that would, instead of kind of providing me with stillness for just that moment, how that experience in the temple could provide me with stillness for the whole next week until I go again.
Oh, okay. Did you have any insights into that? You said you were thinking about it?
Yeah, I think that mindset shift of, instead of just preparing to have that experience for just those few minutes or hours or whatever, I think preparing for the whole week, it felt almost more like the sacrament. And I think having that with me has made an impact. It was like, it's like double sacrament in a week. Like, yeah, I don't know. It just helped to not just detach from that experience after having it.
Okay. I like that. Awesome. I am also going to work on stillness. I think I'm going to intentionally try to figure out times where I have nothing going on during the day. So maybe I choose one of my commutes or a time when I'm generally doing household chores, commonly at the same time each day, and just have stillness. So I'm going to give that a shot. So we'll see how it goes. All right. We also have with us today, Rivka and Burke. How are you today, Burke? Awesome. Any invitations that you want to follow up on?
I'm still working through the Jesus Christ entries in the topical guide. I'm into the C's now, so it's going to be a while still. Enjoying that. But it's interesting, you and Aaliyah were both talking about stillness. I had an opportunity this week. I was working in my backyard. We have a man-made creek that just recirculates, and because there's a lot of trees and vegetation, it gets full of gunk over the years. So I was doing the spring cleaning and pressure washing it out. And so I had a day where for about 6 hours, I was out in the yard with headphones on and I listened to the entirety of conference all at once. And it's interesting that you're talking about being still where there's like no distraction, but I had more like revelatory moments and really spiritual experiences with conference playing. So it wasn't really quiet and I was busy. I wasn't being still. But I think of how often when we put ourselves in places where the Spirit is more present, where it will assert itself over whatever else is going on. And it probably happens to you all the time when you read or listen to scriptures where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just missed the last chapter. But the things you were thinking about while you weren't paying attention were actually really important things. And so that's something I've been trying to pay more attention to in the last week, is just the times when the Spirit is telling me something when I might not think I'm being still, but I need to not like push those moments away.
Yeah. Sometimes during that time, I'm thinking about ice cream or Kung Fu Panda. So,
yeah, no, mine are all deep spiritual transformative experiences. So, I guess I can't relate to that.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, maybe we should move on to Rivka. So, Rivka, how are you today?
Great.
Good. Great. Any invitations you want to work on?
I've still been studying the talks from President Nelson. Well, I mean, I've been through them a couple times. with the intent of learning about the beautiful blessings and increased power and capacity that can be ours through making and keeping covenants. That was a challenge by Sister Dennis. And last week, Burke and I were able to go to Zone Conference with Elder O'Neill for service missionaries.
Oh.
Quarterly, there's a Zone Conference for the missionaries and the parents, because we are heavily involved in the missionary work with our kids. And so the mission president spoke, and one of the things, well, the thing that he talked about, the main thing he talked about was how one of the ways we can tell that Jesus Christ is the one who is speaking through his prophets and apostles is that without planning, so often their talks are very unified in theme.
Oh.
And the thing that he's like, and if you listen to this last conference, there are 15 talks, all of which in their own ways address the blessings and capacities that come to us through covenants. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what I've been reading just in President Nelson's talk. So I'm also going to be keeping my eye out for that. I just thought for me, it was like, I don't know, I was going to say tender mercy, but more it was like a fun mercy to hear. To hear that expanded, because I'd just been reading on that and focusing on it. And so then to have it come from another source and sort of almost like another little challenge to me to say, hey, look, there are some other places too. Like this is consistently being taught right now.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed going through it this week, in addition to that, was like, I'd be listening to one talk and I would have a question. And I'd be like, huh, they didn't really answer that. And then it would get answered in the next talk after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Really nice to kind of absorb it all kind of at once that way. So.
Any new themes you picked out for conference as a whole, Burke?
Nope. Same themes.
Same themes. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Covenants, temple. Yeah.
I noticed that it became slightly easier to get an appointment at the temple in the last couple weeks. So I wonder if the fervor is dying down a little bit as conference sort of fades into the background. So we'll see how things change over the long haul, but man, that initial rush to the temple was pretty impressive. So, all right. Well, with that, we're going to move on to our talk today. Rise, He Calleth Thee by Elder Massimo De Feo of the 70. And this is a talk about his own personal challenge with a vision problem and how he relates that to our spiritual vision. So pretty interesting talk here, and pretty interesting personal story to start with. I thought his opening section was hilarious because it sort of reminded me of myself. He said, some time ago, I asked my wife, can you tell me why, as far as I remember, we have never had any major problems in our lives? And that's kind of like how I walk around, like, yeah, it's fine. She looked at me and said, sure, I'll tell you why we have never had any major problems. It's because you have a very short memory. Yeah, that's probably a conversation Deanna and I have had in spirit, if not in actual quotation, where I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. And she's like, no, you're just not thinking. It was actually terrible. So I related to that. I felt seen, as the kids say. So with that, we're going to move into our fundamental doctrines, and we'll go to Aaliyah. Speaking of the kids, Aaliyah, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Well, the kid picked this at the end. He says, it is about recognizing him, making and keeping covenants with God because of him, changing our very nature through him, and enduring to the end by following him. And that pulls out a couple different things. Like, I would say recognizing him has to do with faith. Making and keeping covenants and changing our nature has to do with repentance and baptism and enduring to the end. He basically encapsulates the entirety of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this one phrase and says, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. You love fundamental doctrines that encapsulate the whole gospel in concise statements.
What could be more
like
fundamental than that?
Statements.
Indeed.
Exactly.
It's true. Fundamental. One benefit of reading the talks after conference is he italicizes him and mm-hmm. some of those points of emphasis. So because of him, through him, following him, they're all italicized. So it's nice to read those and have those pointed out to your eye as you read, because it's about vision, your eye. All right. Anyways. okay. So let's go on now. Thank you, Aaliyah, to Burke. So Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
I really like when he said the gospel is not a way to avoid challenges and problems, but a solution to increase our faith and learn how to deal with them. Mm. I don't really like the doctrine there, but I like that he said it. And you're like, really? It's not a way to avoid it? I was hoping to avoid, but nope. He says stuff's still going to happen. And it's interesting too, when the story you told, that we're told a lot of times in the scripture to remember. But clearly, the things we decide to dwell on and remember matter. So we should be remembering the great things that God has done for us, not necessarily all the hard stuff.
Oh, I love that insight, Burke. I think the world wants us to remember so many negative things. We're so, I want to say this in a way that is sensitive, but we are just obsessed with trauma in our current climate, mm-hmm. right? And we, And it not to downplay trauma or the effect of it, but sometimes that's all they want, that the world wants us to do, is to like just remember it over and over. So you're saying it matters what we remember. We have to remember the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you want to be all cheery all the time, like Todd and apparently like Elder DeFeo. So
yeah, I have such a short memory for things that are negative. Like I was talking to someone the other day saying, like, I just can't hold a grudge. It's just not in me, because I just can't, I don't know. I just move on, and just, I don't have the energy to waste on that sort of thing. And then I just don't think about it. So I don't know, maybe not remembering that kind of stuff is a big blessing that I've underappreciated. So let's go on to Rivka. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
I think it's kind of the mirror of Burke's at the end of the talk. He says, I testify that this gospel is the answer for everything, because Jesus Christ is the answer for everyone. Which I feel like harkens back to a big theme from the October conference, right? We're like, Jesus is the answer.
Indeed.
Over and over.
I feel like our fundamental doctrines were like a sort of a chiasmus, because Aaliyah's was very similar to that, right? Like,
yeah.
Following him is the answer. And then now we come full circle around to he is everything. So why did that resonate with you?
That has borne out in my life. The struggles that I've had, trials that I've had, joys that have come, the way that I've built my life have all either been because I have been living the gospel of Jesus Christ, or because I was making decisions that were not in line with it. But regardless, the effects of the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life have been profound. And it turns out for me, it has been the answer to, it's been the reason for every joy. It's been the answer to every struggle.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Let's go on to sort of the meat of the talk here. That's our fundamental doctrine, is that the Savior is the answer and the gospel is the answer to everything and the solution to our challenges and problems, not a way to avoid them. So he begins by talking about losing vision in one eye and going to the doctor, and they needed immediate treatment, and he was going to have intravitreal injections every 4 weeks for the rest of your life. We have a podcast where we have a physician with us, Dr. Burke. Will you tell us what an intravitreal injection is?
I believe there are two physicians here. But
there are.
He explains it right here. Injections right in the eye, the wide open eye, every 4 weeks for the rest of his life.
So vitrea is like the vitreous fluid is the fluid that's inside your eyeball. So
that keeps it inflated.
Basically. Yes.
Yeah.
So can you imagine having your eye open? They got to have something to pry your eyelids open, or your instincts would collapse it on you. But and then getting that needle stuck into your eyeball Once a month forever? Oh, that sounds horrific.
I'm hoping they numb that eye up a little bit first.
Yeah, probably do. I'm sure they do something, right? They give you numbing drops even at the optometrist, right, to get your eyes checked. But I just psychologically thinking of that sounds awful. In a dramatic understatement, he says that was an uncomfortable wake up call.
See, he's not real connected with things, difficult things of life, it would appear. You know? He should give me a call. I can help him out.
Indeed. Well, then he says, do I need any? So he says, my physical sight is not good. What about my spiritual vision? Do I need any treatment there? What does it mean to have a clear spiritual vision? And then he talks about a story about a blind man in the Gospel of Mark. So Aaliyah, can you recap this story for us?
Yes. So the man, his name is, wait.
Blind Barty.
Bartimaeus.
Yes.
His name is Bartimaeus, and he's blind. He cannot see. And he realizes that Jesus is around. So he's calling out for Jesus. And I believe he calls him Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And the people around him are like, chill, dude. That's like, you don't need that guy. Stop talking. You're just making a fool of yourself. But the guy stands up and he's yelling louder until Jesus comes over and heals him. And then when he does, he like takes off his beggar's coat and he goes and follows Jesus.
Okay, so what was the first principle that he concluded about spiritual vision from that story?
He says, the first principle we learn is we keep a clear spiritual vision when we focus on Jesus Christ and stay true to what we know to be true.
Okay.
So much easier, or maybe not easier, but maybe less painful than getting your eye stabbed. maybe nicer way to maintain vision.
Indeed. You are not blind or a beggar. So how can you, in the modern world, keep your vision focused on Jesus Christ and stay true to what you know?
I think a big part of it is recognizing what isn't Jesus and his influence. Mm. So there's a lot of things on social media, on the internet, in my generational culture that maybe pretend to be doctrinal principles, but are really just the truth with a twist. And Satan is really good at that. And so knowing what sources and what ideals come from Jesus, so I can focus on those, and which ones aren't, so that I can know to ignore them, basically. Like the people around the blind man saying, you don't need to talk to him, or like, stop being loud because you're the outcast and you shouldn't be talking. And so we can, I think, easily get sidetracked by those voices in our ears, even though we obviously need Jesus, even if we look like a fool, who cares?
Words to live by. Even if we look like a fool, who cares?
Yep. Hey, he got healed, didn't he?
He did. What specific steps have you taken to accomplish that? So that's sort of some general principles you talked about. But what do you do in a day-to-day basis to make that reality?
I think having a focus on exact obedience has helped a lot, because the world likes you to toe the line. But if you're exactly obedient, then that's not necessarily an issue, because you just stay as close to the line as you can, or like as far away from the line. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that's one of the ways.
Okay. Ironically, the world wants you to be obedient to them too, right? You're obedient to somebody. Yeah. It's just who you choose to be obedient to.
Exactly.
I would say for me, I have just rooted out all those things out of my life. I barely do social media. I mean, I struggle to do social media even for the podcast, right? I don't watch the news. I don't even read the news. I used to read, I know this is dating me, I used to actually read newspapers regularly. I quite enjoyed it. I don't do that anymore. I just don't care. I don't, none of that stuff matters to me because it doesn't impact the things that are truly important. And it is not uncommon. Someone will say like, oh, did you hear about? And I'm like, nope, I know nothing about it because, you know, it, I don't read any of that. I don't watch any of that anymore. And so it just, it doesn't impact me. Even after conference, we had a discussion about some controversies that led up to conference and that maybe were addressed in conference. I was like, nope, didn't know about them. Did not know about them. So that's one way that I do it, is just to just literally ignore the other voices. So, okay, let's go on to Burke. Burke, so can you move us on to the second principle he talked about?
Oh, man, I have to sign back in.
Uh-oh.
Right at that moment.
Don't you hate that? Aaliyah is feeling so much empathy right now.
Apparently, I didn't refresh the page often enough, and I lost all my marks. All right, let's see here.
Should we come back to you for the third principle?
Oh, no, no, I think I got it. I think I got it.
Okay. Let's see, there's first I think principle. I can. I think I can.
All right, second principle. We keep a clear spiritual vision when we leave the natural man behind, repent, and begin a new life in Christ.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, he says here that we have to stop making excuses and feeling sorry for ourselves, mm-hmm. our circumstances, and our problems. It's almost like he's saying, quit dwelling on that and maybe focus on the times in life when things are better. Even says here, there's never a good excuse to say, I am the way I am because of some unfortunate and unpleasant circumstances, and I cannot change. And I am justified. He doesn't want us to just be acted upon. He wants us to, you know, take hold of things, make a difference, make a change. And obviously do it with the Savior's help, because that's what Bartimaeus was teaching us, that we still need the Savior in order to heal us and to change us. But we have to put in our effort to want that change and to do what we can.
Yeah. And he's this is the part of the story where the Bartimaeus throws away his beggar's coat. Mm-hmm. So he's choosing to rely on the Savior now. So he's using that as the example.
It's that same principle, you know, like Elder Holland taught, you can come as you are, but don't expect to stay as you are.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's a good one. How has this played out in your life, Burke?
You know, I had something really difficult with work I was dealing with this last week, and Rivka and I talked about it some, and she did some praying about it herself, and she came back, and the answer she got was the Spirit reminded her of something really hard that had previously happened to us, and how everything had turned out better. And so, and in that moment, I looked at the situation, and now I was like, oh yeah, this is not as hard as that. And we've already been through that. So I think it's, and if we're honest with ourselves, and again, it's that thing I talked about, remembering, which things are you going to remember? And in this case, the Spirit was trying to remind me like, yeah, here's a really hard thing you've forgotten about that I helped you through. So you need to remember that you've already been through hard things, and I can help you through hard things. And this is going to be another one of those times. And you just need to trust in me, almost be still, believe that I'm God, and just go forward, do your best, and I'm going to help you out. Just stop reveling in how hard this feels right now.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That was Aaliyah's job, because you were the one who said it. She missed her cue.
I didn't want to hallelujah my own comment, but I was happy to hallelujah my own comment.
All right, we're going to practice that, Aaliyah, when you get home. All right, so we I just want to also acknowledge same thing sort of that we said at the beginning, like we don't want to downplay that there are hard things, right?
Absolutely.
And especially when we talk about really hard things like abuse or you know, real stories of trauma, he's not saying that those don't matter, right? He's saying that through the Savior you can be someone who acts for yourself through the power and strength that he can grant you to help overcome those things. So, well,
and also if we understand that being active and faithful members of Christ's church doesn't protect us from these things, that also when the bad things happen to you, they're not your fault.
Yes.
You know, for sure we can make choices that then make hard things happen, but a lot of hard things just happen. It's just part of the test. So.
Yes. And you can, I actually remember one time somebody coming in to my office when I was bishop, and they sort of felt that they needed to confess like this time when they were abused as a child. And, you know, we had to talk about how that was not their fault, and they did not need to repent of something that was done to them. you know? Yeah. And the Savior can lift that burden from you and help you to feel clean and whole. So, okay, well, let's go on to the third principle of spiritual vision. Rivka, what do you got for us?
Okay, so the third principle is we keep a clear spiritual vision when we hear the voice of the Lord and allow Him to guide us. And he talks about, he says the third principle is in the last four words of the scripture, he came to Jesus. Mm-hmm. How could he go to Jesus since he was blind? The only way was to walk toward Jesus by hearing his voice. Yeah. He did it by the means that he had. Right? It might have been a different way than somebody else did it. But he came to Jesus by the means that he had. And
Rivka, I'm going to stop you right there. So
sure.
I love how you phrase that. I love that he said by hearing his voice, because of course that's, we're asked to do that all the time. Mm-hmm. But I love that you made that distinction by the means that he had, because that's how he could do it. So what does that mean to you? What are some means that you have? I mean, we all have times where it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. So what means do we use when it's a challenge?
What means do we use when it's a challenge? Well, sometimes it might be that spiritual gift of believing somebody else's testimony, right? That talks about.
I like that.
I think it could also be a time when, like we talked about earlier, we have to remember something, remember a time when our faith was strong, or remember a time when we had received spiritual guidance. If we feel like we're not in the moment, that we don't say, well, maybe it'll never happen again, we can remember that it did and it will happen again.
I love that.
Sometimes, what are some other ways? There are a variety of ways that we can receive personal revelation, right? Sometimes it can be a feeling. Sometimes we might feel words come into our minds. Sometimes, like I've talked about before, it comes when I write. So there are a lot of, whatever the means we have, we can hear him. He is wanting to talk to us and wanting to guide us. So I like in this that it says, just as this man raised his voice over the voices around him, he was able to listen to the voice of the Lord in the middle of all other voices. So like sometimes it's just maybe focus.
Yeah.
Which can be hard. That's a real challenge sometimes.
It can be. I'm just thinking of all the ways, like, you know, if you're sitting in sacrament and you're just not feeling it, all these other options, right? Or if you're trying to attend the temple and it's just not working for you. I love that you added some of those things in there. Journaling, that's a good thing to try that maybe is not as often used. Journaling about some of your past events. A journal doesn't mm-hmm. have to be current, right? You know, I'm going to journal this experience I had 20 years ago that I've never journaled, and use that as a way to remember. Music is one for me that mm-hmm. always works. I think power washing apparently is one for Burke. So if Burke, you're feeling a little down, swing by our house. We got some work for you to do. You can power wash for us.
I'm telling you, there is power in listening to conference while you get yard work done. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or anything else that's kind of repetitive and mindless, like driving.
Yeah. Listening to conference. I mean, those are the words of the prophets, right? Mm-hmm. That you've listened to it twice already. Listen a third time. I like it. Those are all fantastic.
Well,
anything else, Rivka?
Yeah, he says one of the most important lessons in this story is that this man exercised true faith in Jesus Christ and received a miracle because he asked with real intent, the real intent to follow him, which is an important intent, right? Like if we're just wanting to know an answer because, I don't know, then we'll know it, or I don't know. Sometimes I have found that God does not answer my questions or give me guidance until I get to that point where it's like, whatever you ask me to do,
yeah,
that I will do, right? Like Elder Eyring.
Elder Eyring.
And I was thinking with number two, when we were talking about the beggar's coat, as it said, where it says like he tossed that away, and I thought, if he'd been this way his whole life, how, I mean, that must have been a huge part of his identity.
Right.
You know, he was a beggar. He was known for that. So that taking off of the coat is a really significant action by him. Because when it's talking about a new life, for him, that is including a new identity. And sometimes in this effort that we take to follow Jesus Christ, that is going to be a requirement. Some of those things that we like to hold on to or keep remembering in not the great way, keep obsessing over, right? The reason it's important to talk about our traumas is so we can heal from them, not so we can continue to wear them for the rest of our lives. Mm. So for me, one of the messages in this was in following the Lord, it will require us to clarify or allow him to clarify our identity.
Yeah, I love that. It might seem on the surface that there could be only good things by getting rid of your beggar's coat and getting your sight back. But when you say it like that, maybe that was pretty scary for him. And
yeah,
it requires a lot of courage to accept that agency, that gift of agency to mm-hmm. act for yourself.
Well, there might have been a lot of people who were like, no, that's the beggar. You know, like, it doesn't matter if you take the coat off. We still know who you are. This is who you've been your whole life.
Right.
So what if you can see? What does that mean? And I'm sure he had a lot of those questions himself. And yes, and to drop, like, to set down your identity, and then you're like, well, who am I? And I think that's one of the real blessings that can come, is that the Savior can help us see who we are, right? It says this is the story of the blind man ends with the words, he received his sight. So he approached and came to Jesus by the means he had. And for him, that was, you know, hearing. And he sloughed off his beggar's coat and he followed the Lord. And the result of that was then he received his sight.
Love it. Awesome. Great discussion. Thank you. All right. Well, real quick, because we're running over, Aaliyah, share with us one promise and invitation.
All right. At the very end, he says, I promise that as we hear the voice of the Lord and allow him to guide us on the Savior's covenant path, we will be blessed with clear vision, spiritual understanding, and peace of heart and mind throughout our lives.
I love it. And then he gives us some encouragement that felt like an invitation to me in the last paragraph, where he says, may we cry our testimony of him louder than the voices around us in a world that needs to hear more of Jesus Christ and not less. May we remove the beggar's coat that we might still wear and rise above the world to a better life in and through Jesus Christ. May we get rid of all excuses not to follow Jesus Christ. That was a good one. And find all good reasons to follow him as we hear our voice. Hear his voice. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on that talk. The next one is going to be a record of what I have both seen and heard by Elder Brent H. Nielsen of the Presidency of the 70. And in the meantime, Ali is going to tell you how to get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message and comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.